I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello and welcome to Marlena this week on ACB Radio Mainstream. We'll be with you for just about the next hour, just shy of an hour. And our guest this week is Penny Reeder. Penny Reeder is the former editor of the Braille Forum, which is the ACB publication. We already have a call, but before we bring the call in, we're going to ask the caller if he or she would mind holding on just a moment so that we have an opportunity to welcome Penny. Penny, welcome to Marlena.
Thank you, Marlena. It's a pleasure to be here.
And let's talk a little bit about how this program came to be. Penny heard the program that we did last week with ACB President Chris Gray and contacted me and said that she would like an opportunity to be on the air to discuss some of her views with respect to what, some of the issues Chris raised?
Just some of the statements that Chris made, yeah.
Okay. You know, since we have a call, let's go ahead and bring this caller in, and then let me backtrack and give you an opportunity to get the ball rolling in the direction of your choice. How's that?
That's great. Thanks.
Hello, caller. You're with Penny and Marlena. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
So that's me, I guess.
That's you.
Okay. My name is Teddy Joy Rimhild, and I'm from California, and I'm a member of ACB.
Hi, Teddy.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I need a little background, actually, because I didn't get to hear the Chris Gray broadcast, and so I would like to ask Penny, essentially, and I know this is a response to that, so I'd like to, you know, hear a little more background on what was said then.
Okay. I guess Chris had asked you, Marlena, to replay his mid-year speech, and so the first approximately half hour of that program, I think, was Chris's speech. And there were some statements in that speech that I thought were not entirely accurate. And I just think that members have a right to know that there's another way to look at what's been going on. So I think the major statement that I felt Chris said, which was not entirely accurate, was that Charlie Crawford resigned of his own free will. And it is true that Charlie did tender a resignation, and it was accepted, and he did it willingly. But he did it because Chris and the board were not allowing him to do his job as executive director. And I think that people need to know that. If you want me to keep elaborating, I'll be glad to.
Did you have any other responses, Teddy, or questions?
No. Can I just keep listening?
Sure. Well, but not on the phone line.
Oh.
I mean, you know, because we need to free it up if there are other folks trying to get through. So did you have any questions directly for Penny?
So that was basically it. It was centered around Charlie Crawford, the comments about Charlie Crawford's resignation.
Well, Chris also said that ACB allowed me to resign. And although that is also true, it's not the whole story.
So, I guess, you know, and in terms of your resignation, I guess what I'd like to know is, who has at the current, the way the current constitution is organized or written, who has the power to discipline, discharge, terminate, and hire the editor of the Board of Publications?
The editor of the Braille Forum.
I mean, the editor of the, what
That's
did I say?
The, yeah.
Whatever.
The Board of Publications.
I mean, the editor of the Braille Forum, yeah.
Yeah, according to the Constitution, the executive director has that authority in collaboration with the Board of Publications. So the executive director, I believe, is supposed to collaborate and compare notes with that, with the Board of Publications. But it's the executive director who has the ultimate responsibility for hiring or dismissing the editor of the Braille Forum. And Melanie was not willing to dismiss me. She was at that point acting executive director, but she was willing to accept my resignation, and I felt that I had no choice but to offer it. So I don't know where you want me to start. Do you want me to start with Charlie Crawford's resignation?
Well, actually, let me thank Teddy for calling so that we can bring in other callers who may wish to get in as well. And I appreciate your call, Teddy.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Nice to hear from you, Teddy.
Bye-bye. I am going to ask that when people call, that just as I asked last week, that the questions that you respectfully place will be brief and concise so that we can get as many calls in as possible. And the respectful responses that you hear will be heard in their entirety. So, all right, Penny, I'd like you to begin where you'd like to begin, and I'm going to ask this caller if you could hold. Do you mind holding, caller?
No, I don't mind holding.
Thank you. So, Penny, let me toss the ball to you and see where you would like to begin.
Okay, well, a lot of things have happened in ACB, particularly since July, and that's where I want to begin. In July, many people will remember that at the convention, there was a constitutional amendment proposed. That amendment was written by Charlie Hodge and was supported by the Chris Gray administration.
And for people who don't know, would you tell who Charlie Hodge is?
Charlie Hodge is the chair of the Board of Publications. And the amendment stated that a staff member working for ACB could be dismissed for having impacted the outcome of an election. That amendment, we felt, as staff members, was extremely disrespectful of us and also very ambiguously written. And it was a dangerous amendment, we thought, because virtually anything anybody does could be construed as affecting the outcome of an election. For instance, if I were to ask a question at a state caucus, and I am a member of several special interest as well as the Maryland affiliate of ACB. And I'm also a staff member, or I was at that point. If I had asked the question at a caucus and then a candidate, the answer that the candidate gave to that question had caused people to vote against that candidate, then I suppose, or at least I suppose this last summer, that then my question could have been construed to affect the outcome of the election. So this amendment was proposed, I think, on either late on Monday morning or Tuesday, and it didn't come up for discussion until Friday afternoon after the election. And when the amendment came up for discussion, Charlie Crawford stood up on the convention floor, and he spoke in opposition to the amendment. He said that he knew for a fact that no other executive director would have lived under such a rubric. He said Durward McDaniel wouldn't have done it, and Oral Miller wouldn't have done it, and he didn't intend to do so. And he urged the convention to vote against that amendment. And the amendment was, in fact, defeated by a huge majority. The next day, Chris Gray convened a meeting of the Board of Directors. It was an executive session meeting. And I know that at that meeting, Chris Gray proposed that Charlie Crawford be reprimanded for having spoken on the floor in opposition to that amendment. So even though the convention said that they didn't care if their executive director spoke against something that the president was in favor of, the president said that was not appropriate behavior for the executive director, and he reprimanded Charlie for having done so.
Okay, now, is this a good stopping point?
Possibly.
Okay, let me bring the caller in who's been holding. And caller, with whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Well, hello to both of you. This is Joe Hartz from high atop Mount Morris, Michigan, which is actually about 80 feet above sea level, so it's misnamed. But I did want to ask Penny several questions. One of them was that I was very disturbed about with Chris Gray's comments last week related to the Braille Free Press. And the closure of the Brill Free Press, and content regulation within the settlement agreement. In my reading, the content was the whole thing, period. And in my reading, although I'm not an attorney, I do consult with attorneys, you know, that trademark has never been registered, and the Brill Free Press has never been used for more than 40 years, you know, so is unmarkable. Also, and this is these are comments and questions entwined within them, but I do believe, personally, that Penny was defamed in the legal sense of the word on public listservs when she was accused of theft, and I think she has a good cause of action. The final thing that I want to go into is the stymieing of both free press and free speech and disclosure of public information. I fought very hard, as Penny knows and many others know, to get minutes of open meetings, you know, for months from ACB. And then we find where the very Board of Publications on March 1 passed the rule calling their notes minutes, or calling their minutes notes in some legalistic, you know, type of wrangle, saying that they don't take minutes on their actions, you know, in order to circumvent existing statute that governs all nonprofits. The activities of nonprofits under the District of Columbia law need to be made available to their members and indeed to members of the public.
Okay.
So those are comments with questions intertwined.
All right, and I'm going to ask that you listen on the computer so that we can free up the line. Does
all
that
right.
work for you?
Thank you.
All right,
Joe.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
I hope that I can get to the Brill Free Press, but I'd really like to finish my account of what went on.
Sure.
Because I kind of stopped it in the middle. So the board reprimanded Charlie. I don't know what the vote was. I don't know who voted for the reprimand and who voted against it, but the vote carried, and I know that it was proposed by Chris. And Charlie said that to the staff that he was not willing to accept a reprimand. And so 3 months of negotiations ensued, and the board held something like 6 or 7 more executive sessions. During that time, Chris sent Charlie a memorandum, which he told Charlie he could share with no one except his immediate family, including the board. This memorandum was sent in conjunction with the reprimand. And some of the demands in that memorandum, the procedures that Charlie was expected to follow by Chris, really prevented him from doing his job. These were things like Charlie was prohibited from sending an email unless he sent a copy to Chris. Anyone on the staff who sent an email was supposed to send a copy to the president. Anyone on the staff who wanted to attend a meeting had to get that meeting cleared with the president. And the president was supposed to be kept apprised of where staff members were at all times. Those are just 3 of the items in that memo that I know about because Charlie's wife, Susan, told me. But that kind of micromanagement would have made it impossible for anyone to successfully do his job, especially someone who is supposed to be the executive director, directing the staff of an organization, implementing the resolutions of the organization. Now, you know, this is just amazing to me because Charlie was a successful executive director. Look how much he accomplished in the 5 years that he worked for ACB. I'm sure Charlie's responsible for saving people's lives because communities were able to get accessible pedestrian signals installed. Charlie Crawford got the video description rule approved by the FCC, something that ACB had been trying to do for years and years and years. Charlie stood up for people's civil rights, and ACB was developing such a good reputation in the disability community as a whole that people had begun to come to ACB to ask for our input on decisions and our collaboration to get things done. It was Visudyne who came to ACB and asked for our help. They didn't go to the Federation. They came to ACB. And under Charlie, we had the Voting Rights Handbook. We're getting a lot done. This was a person who was successful. I was successful with the Braille Forum. I think the staff in general was very successful. Melanie was successful advocating on Capitol Hill and and getting supporters for our blindness issues. Yet this was a president who was preventing Charlie from doing his job. And he got to the point where Chris said he wouldn't withdraw the reprimand, and the board backed him up, and Charlie resigned. So that's what happened, and I think people need to know that that's what happened. And Chris, I can't comment on what anybody's motivations are, but it seems to me as an observer that Chris's motivation was a motivation of retribution, because I think he was very angry when Charlie got up and spoke on the convention floor. So we can skip ahead for a few weeks, and people began to ask questions about why Charlie had resigned. The lists were just filled with innuendo and speculation and wondering what was going on, and no answers were forthcoming. Everything was defined as a personnel matter. You want to answer the phone?
Yeah, why don't we bring this caller in since we're right at the beginning of skipping ahead a few weeks. This is probably a good stopping point. Hello, caller, you're with Marlena and Penny. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Hello, Marlena. This is Bob Hache from Massachusetts.
Hello, Bob.
Hi.
Hey,
how
Bob.
Are you, Penny?
Fine, thanks.
Listen, I want to ask a question based on a comment, and this is something that's been on some of the lists, but I think the listeners of ACB Radio ought to be tune into some of this, and I think that you're more than well qualified to answer this. Chris last week referred to styles of governance, and I believe it was something to the effect of Charlie's style of doing things didn't jibe with a, as he said, a consistent majority of the board. I think it might be interesting, and you've already spoken to some of it, what it is exactly that Chris meant by that in detail. What is it about the way one conducts oneself that the board disagree with? And apparently, you know, part of it is speaking your own opinion, obviously, is, as far as I'm concerned, as you said.
Well, you know, Bob, I can't tell you what the board was thinking. I only know what was happening.
And if there are any board members listening, we would certainly welcome your call. You know, the purpose of this evening is to get this information out on the table. We're not going to decide here who was wrong, who was right, or whatever, but we can begin a dialogue. So who knows? But if you do know, if you are on the board, or if you're Chris, we would welcome your call at 866-666-7926 to answer the question.
Well, I can tell you that, because I worked for Charlie, so he was my boss, so I know how he ran the office. And the way he ran the office was that he hired people that he trusted, and he let us do our work. And if we had any questions, we came to him, and he tried to support us. And if we made a mistake, he came to us and said, you know, I don't like what you just did. And we talked it out, and we moved on. I think Chris has a very different management style. I worked for someone else. It was kind of like Chris a long time ago when I was working in the government. And this was a guy who would, like, stand at the doorway and watch to see if you were 3 minutes late. And this was a guy who wanted to know every step you were taking. And certainly Chris was not my direct supervisor, so I don't know if that's what he was doing to Charlie, but that's what I think he was doing. And I know that's the kind of style that there are two kinds of managers. I mean, there's certainly more, but there are two main categories of management, and one style of management believes in the worker's ability to get the job done and is kind of hands-off, and it's another style of management believes that workers will skip out on the job and won't be working hard unless you as a manager are right on top of them, monitoring their every move.
Did you have any... I'm sorry, Penny.
I'm sorry. I think that's kind of the difference.
Did you have any other questions, Bob?
No, that's the only question, but I do have a comment, and that is that, you know, if Chris Gray is going to talk about how this differed from that, it is incumbent upon him or anyone else that does that type of thing to explain oneself in detail so that one has proper information with which to attend the next two conventions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good night. The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. So, Penny, back to we've moved a few weeks forward.
And another thing Chris said last week was that ACB was kind enough to accept my resignation, implying that they really wish they could have fired me. And, in fact, that's what Krista asked the Board of Publications to do. In December, Dawn Christensen resigned from the board. And Charlie Crawford was gone, Jonathan Mosen was gone, and people were asking questions, including affiliates. And on the leadership list, two affiliates released statements asking for more information about Charlie's resignation and deploring that it had happened. And I was getting the December-January Braille Forum ready, and when it came to our date of publication, Chris sent me his message, and in his message, he quoted from the Pennsylvania and Ohio statements, but he quoted them out of context. He was spinning what their intent had been. And meanwhile, after Pennsylvania and Ohio released their statements, I contacted both presidents and asked them if they wanted their statements in the Braille Forum. Both presidents told me that they did. I did not try to coerce anybody into putting the statement in the Braille Forum, but I do think as the editor of the magazine, which is the only information means of information that many people have about the organization, I have a responsibility to try to give people information about what's going on. If an affiliate had released a statement favorable to Charlie Crawford's resignation, say California or Washington or Alaska or one of the affiliates that's more likely to support anything that Chris does, I would have felt equally compelled to put that statement in the magazine, and I would have called up that affiliate president and asked them if they wanted me to include it. So,
okay, let me
get the phone.
Yeah, let's bring in the other caller. Good evening, caller. You're with Penny and Marlena. With whom are we speaking, and from where are you calling?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, name is Larry Wanger. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hello, Larry.
Hi.
How are you?
And you have a question, comment?
I do. Actually, a comment slash question that I'm going to just make, and I'll hang up and allow a response and someone else to call. I guess I kind of want to play devil's advocate here and express a concern that I think others may have, and it's interesting that you're on talking this evening, that I was having a conversation with some friends the other day about actually you, Penny, and this whole situation. So it's kind of interesting. It's a little concerning, I guess, to see a situation where an employee, I guess, of the organization of ACB is, sharing or throwing out some of the things that we're hearing. I guess my concern is that there's obviously two sides to every story, and the program here last week and this week are seeking to explore that. But I guess I have a concern about what this does to the organization, and it's important that the facts get out. But as an employee of the organization in the past, I think you have some responsibilities in terms of confidentiality to a point. And I'm not necessarily a supporter of Chris or of anyone in this effort. I'm pretty new to the organization, and my concern is just the future and what happens to the purpose and mission of the organization. But does that seem, like a legitimate concern, something you've thought of?
Of course it does. Absolutely. It seems like a very, if I were a member and I didn't know anything except what I had been reading online, I would be asking the same question, and I'm happy to answer it for you. I think that ACB has always been an organization where people could discuss openly what was going on, and I think that that has changed under this administration, and I think that if we just move on, and we don't address what's happened with five valuable people having left, with Jonathan Mosen, Charlie Crawford, Penny Reeder, Dawn Christensen, Steve Spiker, Brian Charlson having resigned from the World Blind Union, which was a very prestigious position. With all this has happened, if we just sweep it under the rug and we say we have to move on because it's tearing the organization apart, then we're not acknowledging that people have been hurt and the organization has been hurt. And if we move on and we just cover this up and we sweep it under the rug and we say everything is fine and we'll reform and everything will be okay from now on, we'll be doing it on a false basis. We won't be acknowledging that people have been hurt and that mistakes have been made, and we won't be addressing ways to correct the situation so that those mistakes can't be made again.
Okay, and you wanted go ahead.
I'm not suggesting at all that the issues and the folks that left and that sort of thing be swept under the carpet, the very real issues that need to be dealt with. It's just some of the things, I guess, that, you know, that have been thrown out on the list and that are being talked about. I suppose maybe it's the person putting it out there, that if I were concerned about the ongoings of my organization after being forced to resign, and I was the one pushing, you know, very strongly a lot of issues that I've seen posts from you pushing, I think the danger is that some people in the membership and in the public question the true intent and value and meaning of that because of my former position,
because I'm seen as somehow a disgruntled employee. I understand what you're saying. I'll tell you that when I put up the Braille Free Press, which documented everything that happened to me, it was every statement that I made was documented with emails that came to me and were written by Chris Gray, Charlie Hodge, a number of people. I documented what I had to say. I know what you're saying. You're saying that somehow because I'm a former employee, my credibility is a little suspicious. But I just hope that I'm also a member. I'm a member who cares about the organization. I could have just walked away, and I haven't.
Okay.
And so I hear what you're saying, and I hope that if you get to know me and you get to hear what I have to say and you continue to ask questions, and I hope that that makes you feel better.
And I'm not saying that's my personal view, but I'm saying to you that it's a concern that I think is
going
out there.
I hear what you're saying.
Thank you, Larry.
Sure.
Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
The number is 1-866-666-7926. We have just under a half hour left, and we have another call. So let's bring this caller into the room. Hello, caller. You're with Marlena and Penny. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
This is Dave McElroy, Visalia, California.
Hello, Dave. Any
questions? How are you, Penny?
Fine, thanks.
Two questions, one very quick, and one is kind of an opinion question, and then I'll hang up. Question one, last week, and we're bringing this up a lot, one of the items in Mr. Gray's speech, he was very candid. He said, and I will have to paraphrase rather than quote, but he basically intimated, Penny, that you were, in quote, allowed to resign, end of quote. Now, if I was... if somebody told me that someone had been allowed to resign, made it that public a statement, I would say that would be a pretty clear accusation of no confidence. And I'm wondering if you feel that was a sufficient breach of any agreements that you signed for you to bring a litigation. The second one, the more opinion question, I'd like to know whether you think ACB has lost its focus as a civil rights, if you will, organization. Now, I bring that because even Brian Charlson, when I was one time on this very show or on a show like this, I was talking about my particular suit at the time with my former employer, and his comment was, "Well, you better be careful. You really can't you can't prove discrimination." If we can't fight discrimination about the discrimination that we face as blind people, where is our organization and where have we gone and how long did it take us to get there and what are we now? I'll hang up and take the answer.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to take your second question first because I think it's the most important question.
Okay, and as we do that, let me just let me put this other call on hold. I was going to go into the chat room, but we'll ask this other caller to hold. We will take this caller next, and then we'll go into the chat room. So, Penny, if you can respond to Dave's questions, then we'll move to this caller.
I don't think ACB has lost its focus. I think our members are the same members that I met for the 5 years when I worked for ACB. I think we have a membership that cares very deeply about one another and about one another's rights. I think our president is so focused on pointing fingers and on internal matters that he doesn't tell us often enough about the progress we're making as an organization in terms of civil rights and making life better for blind people. But I certainly believe that the convention affirmed our emphasis on civil rights when they insisted that ACB send a letter to the Department of Justice on behalf of GDY stating that we support the GDY complaint against the Department for the Blind in Iowa. I think that was the very affirmation that ACB has not forgotten about the civil rights of blind people.
Okay.
And most of us will stand on the at the barricades, demand those barricades for blind people's civil rights. And that's who we are. That's why we joined ACB.
Okay, and the first question that he asked you, the response?
He asked if I was allowed to resign.
If I understood his question correctly, I think he wondered about whether that statement would cause you to consider litigation, if I understood the question correctly.
I think you're right. Actually, that statement's what caused me to write to you and say I want to be on the program and have equal time. Certain people have suggested to me that I might have a wrongful termination suit. I don't know. I'm not. I have to move on with my life. I'm not going to sue anybody.
Okay.
But I do want to say that after I put the statements from Pennsylvania and Ohio in the Braille Forum, I put them in the affiliate news column, and neither Chris nor the BOP knew that they were going to appear there before the Braille Forum went to press. When Chris saw those statements in the affiliate news column, the statements were in total. They weren't edited. He was furious, and he wrote to the Board of Publications and demanded that they dismiss me. The Board of Publications met for 3 consecutive nights. I was allowed to be at their meeting for the first 15 minutes and present my case. And then they debated in executive session. The ex officio members were allowed to participate in that debate, although they were not allowed to vote. So Melanie was allowed to be there representing me, or representing the office, the national office, and Erling Hughes and Ralph Sanders were also allowed to participate in that debate. It took them 3 nights. Chris demanded that they dismiss me, and from what I understand, the vote was 3 in favor of removing their approval from me as editor of the Braille Forum and 2 against. So after that happened, there was no way that I could continue to do my job because the BOP had essentially stated that they didn't have confidence in my ability to do so. Melanie was almost as upset as I was, and Melanie went to bat for me, and she proposed that she be the court of final appeal so that when I went with the next issues of the Braille Forum, before they went to press, she would read every word, and if there was anything in the forum that she thought would upset Chris or the Board of Publications, she would tell me to change it, and I would have to change it.
And that was not accepted,
I presume? And I agreed to do it, and Charlie Hodge agreed to accept it, and Chris Gray said that he would accept it. And then it came before the Board of Directors, and at that board meeting, Chris was asked directly if he would accept this proposed solution, and Chris said, and I quote, because no one told me exactly what he said, I'm not inclined to accept it.
Okay, we have another call. Let's bring the caller in. Good evening. With whom are we speaking, and from where are you calling?
This is Brian Charlson calling from Massachusetts.
Hey,
yes, Brian.
How are you?
Doing good. Marlene, you asked if there were any board members out there that they give you a call this evening and do what we can to shed light on all of this. And that's why I called. Actually, I had a friend of mine from here in Massachusetts who said, oh, did you know that Penny was going to be on and given a chance to speak her piece after Chris was on last week? I actually didn't listen to Chris's piece last week. I was actually down in Washington, D.C. at the time. But this week I'm here, and I wanted to take a chance to speak with your listeners and to interact with you and Penny a bit on these issues.
Go right ahead.
I don't believe that any... I read shortly before it was taken down every page of braille-free-press.org. And there, in my opinion, were none of the statements made there. I'm talking about the reprints of letters, the printing of minutes of the board and board of publications, etc. None of them were either inaccurate or misleading in any way. I believe that people have the right to interpret even things that are laid out in that kind of factual way in whatever way they choose and make their best argument for them or against them. But I think that they were accurately portrayed, and they did support Penny's beliefs as outlined them as a statement of belief following each one of the pieces that were part of that website. I should make it clear to all of your listeners that clearly I represent a minority view on the board of directors, have for the past 2.5 years represented the minority view. It's very clear when you take a look at the record as to who voted which way that there's a clear division on the board between those who supported Charlie Crawford's manner of acting as executive director of ACB, of Penny's way of being editor of the Braille Forum, of Jonathan Mosen's way of being head of ACB Radio. Some of us have been working hard since that time and well before that to try to make sure that the minority view is not only heard but respected. That doesn't mean necessarily that every time the minority view fails, that we therefore instantly absorb and become promoters of the majority view, especially on these fundamental issues of freedom of press, freedom of expression, etc. So I would just say that Penny's description this evening is an accurate one. I am restricted from saying anything about what occurred during any of the executive sessions of the ACB Board of Directors. I can say that I have not voted for any of what we're describing. I did, however, vote in favor of the initial reprimand to Charlie Crawford, in as much as that was a compromise position, rather than that it was what I would have chosen to do had there been any other alternative. I was attempting at the time, and in retrospect, regret having gone along with that as a compromise position. Penny, I hope that ACB becomes the organization it used to be, one that believed in freedom of press, freedom of expression. I remember a conversation that we had recently in ACB's board of directors. It was not in executive session, so I'm free to state it. And that was by Carla Rushaval, a member of the ACB board of directors. She indicated that I, of all people, should know that she believed in freedom of expression, and she was referring back to a point on the ACB program where I was acting as presiding officer, and a vote was very clearly, I don't even remember what the subject was and whether it was defeated or supported. But the vote from the podium, when you hear a voice vote, it's very clear who wins and who fails to win on those votes. But a very strong minority felt that they wanted to go to a roll call vote, so they jumped up and yelled roll call. And I made the mistake, apparently, of stating that it was clear from the front that the yeas or the nays had it, and that people, although they had the right to call for a roll call, should be cautious about doing so. And Carla went absolutely ballistic on the floor about the way I was refusing to give the minority their right to speak. That wasn't the case then. It isn't the case now. And it's a distortion of the facts. The fact is that in ACB, We always say the majority rules, but the minority is respected. And that's the primary thing that has changed in ACB. There's the minority, the majority is continuing to rule, but the minority is no longer respected as a point of view, as a right to be a minority point of view. That diversity of opinion appears to me to no longer be true. And I'm sorry for ACB for your leading, Penny. I know it's hard for you as a person, but I think it's much harder on ACB that you have had to leave ACB's employ. And I agree with you that some of the representations that are being made are half-truths. I'd like to think, and because I believe...
And Brian, I'm going to...
I'd like to think...
Brian, I'm going to need to ask you to kind of wrap it up so that we can get...
I understand, and I apologize. I don't mean to...
No, that's okay.
The conversation.
And I don't want to cut anyone off, but I do want to give everyone an opportunity.
Absolutely. So, Penny, hang in there, and ACB listeners, hang in there, too. Don't ever be afraid to ask the hard questions. They're the most important questions to ask. Thank you, Marlene, for giving me a chance to speak.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good night.
I appreciate all that Brian has done. Brian worked very hard to try to support me, as did Kim. When Kim was my chair of my Board of Publications, we had a wonderful time. The Braille Forum was growing and expanding, and all the folks in Massachusetts have been extremely supportive, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate all the board members who called me and sent me personal messages. You want to get the phone? Go ahead.
I'm just going to make a quick comment here, again, asking folks to be as concise as possible. But my quick comment is I just want to say that for me, the most difficult thing in all of this is the pain. In all of it, no matter where you are, this has been a very difficult situation for members, for people directly involved, and I think Brian, I think we heard that emotion in Brian's voice. I think we've heard it in yours. We've heard it in many of the callers' voices. This is not an easy time or an easy issue. Hello,
well,
caller. You're with Penny.
Can
and
I just respond to that?
Let me bring the caller in.
Okay.
You're with Penny and Marlena. With whom are we speaking?
Good morning. Hi, this is Will Mincy from Hyattsville.
All right. And we're going to ask you to hang on, Will, and let Penny respond.
Absolutely.
I just want to say that you're right, that there's a lot of pain. But, you know, from bad things, good things can emerge, and we can turn it around. We can bring ACB back to the organization it used to be, where we could disagree on the floor of the convention and we could still have a drink together in the bar, and where any kind of criticism wasn't taken automatically to mean some sort of disloyalty. We can bring it back, because we're still the people we were. We're still the people we were when I came to work for ACB. And the Braille Forum can once again be a magazine which is a true forum where people can say what they want to say. We have to make changes. We need to go to convention. And if you can't go to convention, you need to talk to your representative. You need to listen on ACB radio.
Absolutely.
You need to call your representative for whoever is representing you, your delegate on the floor, and make your opinion known. Because that's why that resolution passed last summer. That's, you know, it can happen. I'm not ready to give up on ACB.
Okay,
that's why I'm here.
Let's bring Will into the room. And what's your question, Will?
Well, hi. I'd first like to commend Penny, thank her for her stand. some folks took a stand a long time ago when they first founded this country. They were our founding fathers, and they pledged their lives and their fortunes. And I think when we put up the fact that should someone worry about their former employee as opposed to standing up not only for their civil rights but for the rights of the organization, then I think we have to make a stand, and I'm certainly glad to see that Penny was brave enough to do that. My question, and then I'll get off the phone, I wonder if you know of any other adverse things that may have affected the organization since the July convention. I'm concerned especially about the financial situation of ACB. I know that an attorney was hired by ACB to sue you for things that had been published on the Internet. Once again, thanks, and I appreciate your time, and have a great evening, and good luck, Penny.
Thank you, Will, so much.
Okay.
I will say I agree with Will. ACB's finances are in terrible shape. And what's even worse is we don't know how bad they are. If you all will read the reports about the board meetings that appear in the Braille Forum, you'll notice that whenever the chief financial officer gives reports about the amount of money we have in our treasury, they're usually about 3 months behind. So I don't think people, I mean, I don't think the board members, I don't think the membership actually even knows where our finances are as an organization, but they are way down. There, I heard recently that we, at the end of the year, we'll have about $120,000 in reserves. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's accurate because I don't think we have accurate information. And I just want to answer Will's question and Joe's questions. Yes, Chris.
Yeah, they're on hold. Go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
ACB was claiming that the emails I had...
Okay.
Then I would be responsible for paying up to $10,000 in legal fees if they won.
Okay.
Now, I know that when people go to court, right doesn't always win. So that's
okay.
Why I settled. And that's why I took the whole...
And that is a question that people have wanted to know, so I'm glad that you approached that question. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller into the room. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Kitty from Ohio.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, good evening. I have a concern in this whole, I hear a lot of emotion, and certainly that is legit. It seems that there aren't very clear lines drawn, or if the lines are clear, that they've been overstepped in terms of what ACB staff are responsible for and what the ACB president and board of directors are responsible for. I can tell you from my own past experience, I worked for an organization that was a private nonprofit, and it had a board of directors, and at one point they did try to overrule and override the staff, and it led to some really horrible staff morale problems, including almost unionizing.
Okay, and can we get to your exact question?
My question is, are there lines drawn between what the staff's responsibility is and what the board's responsibility is?
Okay, and before Penny gets to that, I understand we may be having some problems with the stream, so hang in there with us, and I don't know if Dave can check on that as he's monitoring. Thank you for your question, and I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name is Kitty, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Kitty, thank you so much, Kitty.
Kitty is right. You know, you hear about these kinds of situations all the time with not-for-profits. And Chris has really exacerbated that situation. He kind of ran against Washington when he ran for the presidency. And the attitudes in ACB have changed dramatically under this administration. When I first came to work for ACB, members called the staff and board members and affiliate presidents called the staff, and there was a whole different attitude it was more of a collaborative attitude. It was like, well, we all want to get this thing done. How can we work together to get it done?
Okay.
And recently when people were calling the staff members, it was only finger-pointing going on.
Okay. I only
want to answer her question.
Yeah, let's try to get as many calls in as we can in the next few minutes. Hello, you're with Marlena and Penny. With whom are we speaking? From where are you calling?
Hello, Marlena. This is Pat Sheehan, also a board member.
Hello, Pat.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing fine.
Hey, Pat.
Go ahead, Pat.
Yes. I had a question concerning where we are with respect to some of the progress that we'd like to talk about with regard to Chris Gray. Just what has he done with this particular administration, and have we seen any progress over the last couple of years? I'd like to have Penny comment on that. Also, I'd like to also say that as far as my votes were concerned regarding both Charlie Crawford and Penny Reeder, that I supported both of them all the way through. I thought that they took positions of integrity, and I felt that they were unduly chastised and beat upon by the Gray administration.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Give my best to Jane.
Will do. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, and
that's Mr. Jane Sheehan there.
Yeah, that's Mr. Jane Sheehan with the pop guide dog Papa. Yeah. And Penny, just so that you know, we've got about 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness, I'm not even sure what to do with 5 minutes.
That's why I thought I would.
I do want to comment on someone. That person from Ohio was asking about if there are guidelines. There is an employee handbook. July, right after the first executive session of the board meeting, Chris said he was appointing a committee to rewrite those employee guidelines.
Yes, he mentioned that last week as well.
Has yet to meet. Chris said they were in the process of doing so. They have yet to meet. They have not come to D.C. They have not met with staff, and they have yet to meet. Now, I fully expect them to come up with some guidelines before the convention so that he can claim they did it under his watch. But it hasn't been done at this point.
Okay, can we try to just catch this last caller? You're with Penny and Marlena. With whom are we speaking? From where are you calling?
Hi, this is Sue from Seattle.
Yes.
Hey, let me turn my speakers down. Sorry.
Yes, please, quickly.
Sorry. I haven't had a chance to listen to all the show. My computer died, but I want to compliment Marlena for being willing to, as a part of ACB Radio, air a divergence of opinion. I think it's important that we hear a divergence of opinion and that we hear things that Chris said to say, things that Penny has said to say, and the various callers that are associated therewith. And I think that's the value of ACB Radio, that we should never give up in this organization. So thank you to both of you.
I agree
thank
with
you.
You. I want to second what you said. I guess that's how I would end, since I only have about 3 minutes left. I want to say that ACB has always been an organization which welcomed a diversity of opinion, which welcomed a discussion, which welcomed debate. ACB was never an organization where people got kicked off of ACB lists for merely stating opinions. You know, I got expelled from ACBL for having shared Steve Spiker's announcement of his resignation with members of that list. That is new. This whole ACB... The Braille ACB came into existence because blind people could not get their opinions out in public. And they started the Braille Free Press to do exactly that. That's the same reason I started a Braille Free Press of my own, to do exactly that. ACB is an organization that claims to be democratic, but democracy can only work if an electorate who makes the votes is an informed electorate. That's what I tried to do with the Braille Forum. That's what we should be doing with our website. That's what we need to be doing with our listservs. That's what we need to be doing on ACB Radio, and I commend what you're doing tonight. I've always been so grateful to Jonathan Mosen for starting ACB Radio on that basis, and to Dave Williams for continuing it there, and I want to congratulate you, and I really do appreciate so much. I know you had some second thoughts about it. I know you were worried about this show, and I was too, and I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, and let me be clear that my concern about the show was never that you shouldn't be on.
Oh, I knew that.
My concern was... What I wanted to do was exactly what happened and that was to provide a free forum through which people could communicate. You notice that this week and last week, I have not and will not state my opinion as to where I am, what I think, and all of this, because as a journalist, that opinion is not relevant. What is important is that people begin to share and begin to dialogue and begin to do so perhaps in a different space, not in the Braille forum, not on the convention floor, but through ACB Radio. And I very much value having played a small part in maybe beginning some of that dialogue.
And how wonderful that you were able to do that without being accused of being on one side or another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to say that Chris Gray was supportive of this program, that I did speak with him by email, and he was supportive that this program should happen. We're just about out of time, Penny, but let me just say you will be in Birmingham, yeah?
I will.
And people will be able to look you up and meet with you and chat.
And this is my email address. It's preader, P-R-E-E-D-E-R, at Concentric, concentric.net.
Thank you, Penny, very much.
Thank you so much, Marlena.
You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.